In outer space, whirls of translucent vapor spiral around a spinning globe. A logo appears, Universal, an MCA company. Now, in a shadow-filled corridor, shafts of light stream from a grating above. At the end of the long hallway, two guards stand outside closed doors.
On his 35th birthday, I decided to tell Julius Benedict the truth about himself.
The doors are labeled Genetic Research Department.
Julius already knew that he was the product of a scientific experiment conducted by the American government. A top-secret experiment designed to produce a physically, mentally, and spiritually advanced human being.
In a lab, two scientists remove a flask from a machine.
He knew that unlike other little boys, he had not one, but six fathers, all very distinguished men, especially chosen for their genetic excellence. And, of course, he knew about Mary Ann Benedict. The remarkable young woman who was selected to be his mother.
The scientists introduce a pretty, honey-haired woman to six middle-aged men. They all gather together and pose as a photographer sets up his camera. In a black-and-white picture, Mary Ann stands at the center of the group, smiling brightly.
Sadly, he had long lived with the tragic knowledge that his mother died while giving birth to him.
Now, guards stand outside doors marked top secret.
Now, what Julius did not know, not until this very moment, was that about a minute after he was born, his mother gave birth to another baby boy.
Two nurses hold the infants side by side. One is plump and healthy looking and rests calmly in his caregiver's arms. The other, smaller and red-faced, kicks and balls up his tiny fists. Titles appear: Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in Twins. A second letter I drops into the film's title, landing beside the first. Later, the two babies lie together. The larger boy, fair-haired and blue-eyed, smiles contentedly. The smaller infant, brown-haired and dark-eyed, fidgets and kicks his brother, whose face crumples. As the fair-haired baby squeezes out tears, his brother smiles. More than 30 years later, the now adult Julius stares with wide blue eyes while he sits with one of the scientists.
I have a brother?
Yeah. He was sent to an orphanage in Los Angeles at the same time I brought you here to the island.
We see a tropical island.
Julius had spent his entire life here on the island helping me with my research. I always thought he was happy and had no desire to leave. How wrong I was.
I must find him.
He walks out of a greenhouse.
Julius, wait.
I couldn't believe he was going. He wasn't equipped to deal with the outside world. All of his knowledge was from books. Julius could speak 12 languages. He excelled in history, science, mathematics, literature. He was pure in body and in spirit.
Julius practices karate.
But for the first time, Julius would not listen to me.
He's probably just like me.
Bare-chested, the 6-foot-tall, muscle-bound Julius drags a raft into the ocean and rows away while the scientist watches from shore.
The nearest island with an airport was 27 miles away.
The men wave to each other.
But Julius did not care. He had become obsessed with the idea that his brother Vincent was in some kind of trouble and desperately needed his help.
Now, in a bedroom, a woman lies on top of a man, kissing him passionately.
Honey, I'm home!
Oh, no!
Who knew?
Moments later, the man, short and balding, rolls out of a second-story window onto the roof of a house. He climbs down a stone pillar and lands with a flourish. Grabbing an electric razor from his jacket pocket, he swipes it across his stubble and jogs down the sidewalk. More titles. Also starring Kelly Preston, Chloe Webb, Bonnie Bartlett, Trey Wilson, Marshall Bell, and David Caruso. The man leers at a passing brunette jogger.
Oh, hello, hello. Oh, my goodness.
His short ponytail bounces at the back of his neck as he runs to a red convertible and rips a ticket from the windshield.
Goodbye.
The man hops in and drives off. Now, two women stroll down a sidewalk. One's a sexy blonde, the other an attractive strawberry blonde who flips through a paper.
We're gonna be late for work. I need my horoscope.
Oh, yeah, horoscope.
Your judgment is at its peak today. Use it wisely, and romance will follow.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, I hope so. Who knows?
Ladies!
The short man drives up.
Vince!
I thought you broke up with him.
I did.
They nuzzle in a kiss.
You don't mind if I talk to your sister for a second, do you?
Nah, she doesn't mind.
Don't give him any money.
Later in a restaurant.
Oh, no, I promised Marnie that I wouldn't give you any money, didn't you know?
Vince makes a pouting face.
Don't look at me like, don't do that thing with your eyes. I'm not even supposed to be here with you.
You are here, and so am I. Maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear from view. I only have eyes for you, Linda. I only have eyes for you.
Linda breaks into a crooked smile and they kiss. Vince's eyes grow wide as a burly man enters.
It's the baby plane.
What?
He dives under a table.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yeah. Where's the little shit?
You'll have to be more specific concerning the clientele.
Benedict.
Oh, he wouldn't come in here. Isn't that right, Marnie?
Who, Vincent?
The blonde wipes crumbs onto Vince's head.
That weasel? That creep? I wouldn't serve him if he crawled in on his hands and knees.
Vince scurries out on all fours.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash.
On an airplane, passengers scowl at Julius, who wears headphones.
You ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak. Don't talk back.
A stewardess removes his headphones.
I knew you were trouble the second I laid eyes on you.
Excuse me. I just have never heard this kind of music before.
As she walks off, his bright gaze follows her. The plane comes in for a landing. Later, Julius leaves the bustling airport, glancing all around with a look of awe. Later still, he steps off a bus and flashes a bright, gap-toothed smile. Carrying a silver suitcase, he wears a gray sport coat and white shirt with shorts and high-top sneakers. Sauntering down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he stops and looks at a star on the sidewalk that bears the name Lassie. Now, Julius eats a soft-serve ice cream cone as he strolls down a busy street. At a food stand, he pays for a hot dog.
Thank you.
A moment later, he passes a homeless man who plaintively holds out his hand. Julius gives him the partly eaten hot dog, pats his shoulder, and walks off. The man stares at the food. Later still, Julius munches on a slice of pizza and then chews a mouthful of gyro as he takes in the city scene. Punk wigs fill a storefront window. Lowrider automobiles bounce down a street. A little boy rides a toy car. Across the street from Man's Chinese Theater, Julius passes Vince. Unaware of each other, Julius and the much shorter Vince pause, scratch their backsides, and go their separate ways. Crossing the street, Julius approaches a poster of the muscular Sylvester Stallone as Rambo. He feels his own bulging biceps, waves his hand dismissively, and grins as he walks off. Now, Vince drives up to a parking garage attendant.
Hey, Vince! Al, listen, Al,
You gotta help me out. I'm into the Klein brothers for $20,000.
Borrowing money from my own shop?
What are you, nuts? I'm desperate, Al. I mean, what do you got? You got anything for me?
All I'm saying.
Wait, see what you got.
We're doing this too often, boys. All right, look, I'll get you something. Here we go. Here we go. All right, I got a nice BMW up on 4, stall 20.
Later, up in the garage, Vince approaches a shiny black BMW parked in stall 20. He waves to a woman climbing into a white sports car. As she drives off, he whips out a long metal shim and slides it into the gap between the driver's side window and the door to unlock the BMW. He climbs in and reaches under the dashboard. A second later, he quickly backs out of the parking space, spins the car around, and drives off. Now, workmen cover the BMW's grille and windshield as a fence, wearing a plaid sport coat, hands Vince a wad of cash.
All of these you can get. Every single one.
All right,
okay.
Tony.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right.
For you.
All right. All right, thanks, Tony. All right.
Vince counts the bills.
Whoa, Tony. Mm-hmm. There's only $4,000 here. I mean, usually for a car like this is $6,000, Tony.
We're in a recession, Vince. Everything's tough. Everything. Now, look, you want to try someone else? No hard feelings.
No. I just could have used some more, you know? I mean, it's...
You okay, Vince?
Yeah.
You seem a little worried. What's the matter? Your bowels troubling you?
Vince hurries away. Nighttime. Outside a sleazy lingerie shop, Julius watches a woman in a miniskirt sashay past.
What an amazing country.
Hey. Got a light, pal?
Oh, excuse me. I don't smoke, pal. Yeah.
They eye a mannequin in spangly black and gold underwear.
Yeah, good stuff, huh? So, picking up a little something for the girlfriend?
Oh, I don't have a girlfriend. Do women really wear these things?
You bet. If you're lucky, they do. So, you're from out of town, huh?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I come from a little island in the South Pacific.
A motorcycle zooms toward them. The driver grabs Julius' suitcase and gets yanked off his bike.
Hey! What the hell did you do to him, man?
I did nothing. The pavement was his enemy.
He feels the injured man's head.
Light concussion. Uh-oh. I carry him to a hospital.
No!
I don't think you should. Just take off, man. Find your horse you came in on. Goodbye. Thanks a lot.
So sorry about this. I feel terrible.
Oh, me too. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The next time you should really consider wearing helmets.
Yeah. Have a nice day.
You don't have to buy them, all right? But just don't say that they're cheap. These are quality socks.
Now, Vince leaves a clothing store with a box.
Oh, no.
He finds a cop putting a ticket on his car.
Oh, jeez. $53? Are you out of your mind?
Your vehicle's in a handicap zone, if you didn't notice.
So do I look normal to you?
You don't have a handicap sticker in your windshield.
Oh, come on, sticker. You don't need a sticker. Handicap my ass.
I'll need your driver's license, sir.
Look, I'm sorry I lost my temper.
Driver's license, please.
Look, I had a very bad day. I'm very
sorry. Driver's license, please.
Later.
You've got over 200 outstanding parking tickets, Mr. Benedict. Uh-huh. You just had your birthday. Well, your driver's license just expired. Happy birthday. Watch your head.
Thank you.
The cop pushes him into the back of a squad car. Daytime. Schoolboys file past a sign reading St. Charlotte's Orphanage. Inside, Julius confers with a nun. Come on.
So this is where my brother grew up. I'm so happy he had so many children to play with.
He inspects a sunny room filled with rows of twin beds.
And that's where he must have slept.
Yes, it was. How did you know?
Oh, it's the one I would have chosen. It's the one closest to the fire extinguisher. In case of a fire, I could have given the alarm and saved all the other orphans.
We've had only one fire here at St. Charlotte's. Vince Benedict started it. We like to think by accident.
In an office, she pulls out a file.
Tell me a little bit about Vincent. Was he a great athlete? Was he interested in chess and poetry?
I'm certain God had a purpose when he created Vincent Benedict, but it had nothing to do with chess or poetry.
A photo of a boy and a nun slips from the folder.
Odd. Contents of his files are missing.
That is Vince? He looks so happy.
He should. Sister Maria, his biology teacher.
Oh, I always liked biology.
So did Vincent. He disgraced Sister Maria, who had to leave the order. Then he stole all the money from the library fund and ran away.
But I must find my brother. You know where he might be.
Jail. A man of his character can only be in jail. You're full of goodness, Julius. I pray you'd never find him.
Later, Vince forlornly stares out from a jail cell.
Benedict! Visitor!
His brow furrows in surprise. In the visitor's room, Julius sits behind a glass partition. Beside him, a woman talks with another prisoner on a telephone. Julius anxiously watches a guard open a cell door on the other side of the glass. A strapping prisoner steps out, bearing a tattoo on his bulging biceps. Julius rises and eyes him eagerly, but the muscle-bound prisoner moves on. As Vince comes up and stands before him, Julius's eyes bug out in amazement. His mouth hangs agape as they both take a seat. The plump, round-faced Vince leans forward expectantly. Julius presses his lips together, then mouths the words, "Excuse me." Picking up his suitcase, he rises. His calf muscles bulge as he steps over to a guard sitting at a desk.
"I'm looking for Vincent Benedict."
"You got him."
Julius looks back to the squat, balding man seated behind the glass. His eyes gleam in fascination. On the other side of the partition, Vince nods, frowning slightly. Julius straightens his jacket. Throwing on a broad smile, he walks back to the glass and sits. His handsome, chiseled features beam brightly as he faces his brother. Vince smirks and watches Julius's lips move as he starts to speak.
"I have rode halfway across the world." "No, wrong. I just rode a day, but I..."
Vince imitates Julius's moving lips.
"But believe me, I've been looking forward to this moment my whole life. I've been on my island. I'm telling you, this is absolutely incredible that I've looked for this..."
Vince picks up the telephone on his side and mouths the words, "Pick up the phone." Julius reaches for his receiver.
"You gotta talk into the phone, bozo."
"Vincent. Dearest Vincent, I know you don't know who I am, but believe me, I came halfway across the world.
Whoa. I got another 6 hours to pay the money back. And tell the Klain brothers that harassing a man who's already in the slammer is beneath even them, all right?"
"I don't know any Klain brothers. I'm your brother, Julius."
"Huh? Come again?"
"My name is Julius, and I'm your twin brother."
A sly smile spreads across Vince's face.
"Oh, obviously. The moment I sat down, I thought I was looking into a mirror."
"We are not identical twins."
"Oh, no?"
"No."
"Well, I wouldn't be too sure, pal."
"I don't lie. I am your brother, and you must let me help you get out of here."
"You want to help me get out?"
"Yes, right now."
"Well, money talks and bullshit walks."
Julius eyes him blankly, then leans closer.
"How can bullshit walk? That's slang, huh?"
"Yeah. I'm fast company here. Hey, take a look over there. See that man? Pay him money. All right? They let me out. Okay? I'll be anything you want. Your aunt, your uncle, your sister, your cousin, your brother-in-law. Anything. All right?"
"Okay. All right? I pay right now."
"You pay now."
"Okay, Vince."
Okay. Go pay. Good. All right. Pay him. What is this, candid camera?
Later, they walk out of the L.A. City jail together.
Whew. Twinny, listen, I hope you didn't blow your wad back there on the tickets, because I'm going to need a lot more money to get my car released here.
I have more money.
You do?
I'm glad to help you. Well, Vincent, I'm your brother. I love you.
Julius puts his arm around him.
Look, ease up on the love talk, okay? Because I'm going to be tossing my cookies in a minute, all right?
Tossing your cookies. That's more slang.
In a parking lot, Julius finds a red convertible.
"Hey, Vincent. This is your car, isn't it?"
"Yeah, that's it. You pay a huge fine and then they hide it on you. How'd you know this is my car?"
"We're twins. You know, I'm so excited. Now we can go to museums together, talk philosophy together, read books together, play chess together,
get lost together."
Vince peels out of the parking space and drives off.
"Vincent!"
Julius starts to run after him as his brother heads down the street.
"You're so full of energy."
At the parking garage, a tan Cadillac pulls up to Al's booth.
"New sedan DeVille, huh? This is beautiful.
Where you guys going, out to Hawaii? Catch some of them big waves?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, plenty of room on level four.
He raises the gate and the Cadillac rolls into the garage. On level four, seconds later, the two men inside wear driving gloves and Hawaiian shirts. The passenger flips open an attaché case, takes out an audio tape, and hands it to the driver. He turns the tape to one side, pops it into the cassette player, then takes the keys out of the ignition. The two men climb out and wipe off the car's side mirrors, doors, and trunk with white cloths. When they finish, the driver holds up his key ring. The two walk off. Now, on Hollywood Boulevard, Vince races across the street and enters an office building. Later, an elevator opens onto a floor, and Vince steps out just as a workman rolls a desk on a hand truck.
Whoa, whoa, where you going with my desk?
Taking back this furniture, man.
You're 6 months behind.
He heads to his nearby office.
6 months behind. That's the problem. There's no trust in the world anymore. Huh?
I tried to stop me, Mr. Benedict.
That's all right. That's all right. It was time to redecorate anyway.
Benson Benedict Incorporated. Sports agent. Also patio furniture. Mr. Benedict?
Yeah.
Sal.
It's Al. Miss Busby, Al, hang on a second. The corporation's in a transitional period right now. Take a couple of days off, and then when we regroup, I'll give you a call.
Okay, whatever you think is best.
All right.
She picks up her purse and a needlepoint.
Yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead, take that.
Oh, before I forget, happy birthday.
She holds out a small gift.
Oh, how sweet. That's very, very nice of you. Aqua Velva. You shouldn't have. Stacy.
He kisses her.
I'll give you a call, okay? All right, all right.
After she leaves, he dumps the cologne.
Al, save me.
Brand new caddy on level four.
From heaven. I'll be there. Don't move. Bye.
He hops to the glass door and walks out, shutting it behind him. A beefy man hurls him back into the office through the glass door.
Time's up, Vincent.
He grabs Vince by his shirt and tosses him through the broken door back into the hallway. The bruiser snatches him up.
You hit me because I didn't feel a thing.
He hits Vince in the gut.
I felt that.
Julius steps off the elevator.
You gotta understand something, Benedict.
I like my work.
Julius pinches the guy's neck.
This is the most unfriendly act you're committing. I mean, I don't know what the problem is, but I'm sure it can be resolved without resorting to violence.
Vince kicks him.
Okay?
Okay. Okay. Good.
The bruiser throws a punch. Julius blocks it, then flips him.
You moved too soon.
He did?
The bruiser tries to kick Julius, but he shoves him against a wall.
Ooh, a little chest pain.
Had a first rule in a crisis situation. You negotiate first. And you attack last.
Well, you negotiate first and then you attack.
You never negotiated.
Nah.
You don't know what kind of an enemy I am.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Vincent's brother.
We're twins.
That's right.
The bruiser grabs an axe from the firebox. He swings it. Julius jumps out of range.
You have no respect for logic.
Okay. But he's got an axe!
Julius dodges. The bruiser crashes into a wall, embedding the axe.
And I have no respect for those with no respect for logic.
Julius lifts him a foot off the floor.
You're a very stupid person.
He flings him into an elevator.
You tell your brother he messes with me, he messes with my whole family!
The elevator doors close. Later, the brothers stroll across the street.
I love it when you hit people, Julius.
Oh! He fakes a punch.
That's right.
Actually, I hate violence.
But you're so good at it. Listen, I got an idea. We should go into business together. You could be a boxer, I could be a manager.
Oh, I don't think I could fight for money.
No problem. You do all the fighting, I'll keep all the money.
I'm really worried about you, Vincent. How much money do you owe? Now, don't lie to me. We're twins. I can feel your pain.
Why do you keep saying that? We're not twins, we're not brothers, we're nothing.
Shoulders slumped, He steps over to his convertible and pulls a ticket from the windshield.
20,000.
Vince stares at him.
Due this morning.
He climbs behind the wheel of his car. Staring at Julius, he shrugs.
Come on!
Julius hops in beside him and Vince shakes his head. As he puts the key in the ignition, Julius lays a hand on his shoulder.
Now, don't worry about anything, Vincent. As long as I'm with you, I won't let anyone harm you, okay?
Yeah, well, you're a good guy, Julius. Now hang on to your seat.
He speeds into traffic, nearly crashing into a passing car. Julius glances over his shoulder, then reaches for his seatbelt.
Oh, you know what? Listen, I completely forgot. I promised this friend of mine, Sammy, that I would pick his car from the airport. Put it in the slot. Would you do me a big favor? Would you drive this car back from the airport for me?
Oh, would love to.
Yeah? Good, good. That would really be a big help.
Do you have a manual, please?
Vince throws him a look.
Manual?
Yeah.
In the glove compartment.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Julius takes it out and begins to flip through, running his finger down the pages. Vince squints in puzzlement.
What are you doing with the finger there?
Learning to drive.
Whoa.
Later.
It's not up here. Maybe it's under the back tire.
Vince searches the Cadillac.
I mean, he usually leaves the keys behind the tire. Jeez.
What's the matter?
Oh, that dopey Sam, he forgot to leave the keys. No, well, a lot of handicapped children are going to be very disappointed.
Handicapped children?
Yeah, this car was supposed to be auctioned off at their charity drive tomorrow. Oh, well, let's go get something to eat.
Well, maybe we should try to open it ourselves.
Vince's eyes grow wide.
Do you really think we should do that?
It's for children.
You got a point.
Using the wire, Vince jimmies the lock.
I saw a guy from the auto club do this once. What do you know? Beginner's luck. Whoa! These cars have terrific alarms. I'll get it in a minute.
As he feels under the dashboard, Julius goes to the back of the car and starts to lift it. He raises it 3 feet off the ground. Inside, Vince slides forward. Julius grits his teeth and sets the caddy back down. It bounces on the cement floor. Vince's mouth hangs open as he staggers out.
See, if you lift the rear end of a car to an angle greater than 45 degrees, the mercury switch activates the automatic cutoff system so that the alarm's computer thinks that the car is being towed away and shuts off. Can I have the keys to your car?
Vince's mouth hangs agape.
You know the keys to your car.
Yeah. No yodeling.
Vince drives the caddy to Al's booth.
Lovely day.
He pulls out of the garage.
Come on, Julius.
Behind him, Julius drives up in Vince's convertible. He skids to a stop, then lurches forward a few feet at a time. His head jerks repeatedly. Up at the end of the block, the caddy sits parked. Vince gets out and waves his arms.
Step on it!
Julius shifts gears.
Yeah!
He zooms down the street, then comes to a sudden stop behind the Cadillac. Vince hops into the stolen car and takes off. As Julius follows, Al stares after them. Down the street, the brothers pull up side by side.
Oh, my God.
I am amazed how well
it's
going. Very
good, Julius. You're doing good. Look, don't use both feet at the same time. You know, just use the gas.
And then when you want... Okay, so 1 foot.
One pedal at a time.
Okay, I will do it.
Julius drives off with Vince right behind. At dusk, their headlights beam brightly. Inside the Cadillac, Vince picks up a car phone and pushes a button. In the convertible, Julius grips the wheel. His gaze shifts uncertainly. Back in the caddy.
Pick up the phone. Little thing down on the right that's making a noise.
Back in Vince's car, Julius picks up the phone.
This is Vincent's car. Can I help you, please?
Julius!
Vincent! Where are you?
Look in your rearview mirror. You see that little dot?
That's me.
Hello, yeah. Hello.
What are you doing back there?
Look, there's going to be a lot of lights coming up. A supermarket.
Supermarket.
Now, I want you to take your foot off the gas, apply it to the brake. That's the thing next to the gas.
On the brake panel.
Very gently.
You got it. Bye, Vincent.
All right.
They both hang up. Wearing a baseball cap, Julius looks to the right and spots a well-lit store.
Okay, here's the supermarket.
He slams his foot on the brake. The car swerves to the right and pulls into the parking lot. Bouncing over a speed bump, it tilts onto its right side. The car rolls on two wheels, with its left side high in the air. Shoppers scurry out of the way. As Julius turns into a parking space, the car drops back down onto all four wheels. Vince pulls up beside him.
That's what I call fun. Do you see me with the two wheels? You know, I can teach you that, Vincent.
Julius, let me tell you something about America. Nobody likes a smart ass, all right?
Inside.
So, what do you think? Angel's food or devil's food?
Linda and Marnie.
Devil's. You know what I really love about Vince?
What?
He's a force of nature.
You're out of control.
No, I'm not.
That poetry he pretends to write, they're old song lyrics.
I know that. Geez, you think I don't know that?
No, I don't think you know that.
No, I do. It's a style thing with him. That's how he expresses himself. And he means it. Even if he doesn't know he means it. Vince has a truly romantic soul.
I can't hear this anymore.
Well, then don't. Because if you have a boyfriend like I have a boyfriend, you make a cake like this, and then you love it, and you get laid.
At the supermarket newsstand, Julius picks up a Playboy. As he leafs through it, his eyes bug out. With his gaze fixed on the centerfold, he takes a step forward and bumps into Marnie. He drops the magazine.
Hi.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
He bends to pick up the magazine.
She's not bad.
I had no idea that these magazines had things like this inside them.
You didn't? Where have you been, a desert island?
As a matter of fact, they come from a tropical island from the South Pacific. It's around 300 nautical miles south-southwest of Fiji. I just got here yesterday and I already found my brother.
Your brother?
She turns to find Vince.
That's right.
My twin brother, Vincent.
Twins?
Vince.
Linda! Hi. You look gorgeous in this light.
Yeah.
As they kiss, Marnie exchanges a look with Julius, who frowns uncertainly.
Hi. Who's this guy?
This is Vincent's brother.
I didn't know you had a brother.
Me either.
You already know each other?
Oh, yeah, Julius, allow me to introduce these lovely ladies. This is Linda.
Hi.
Hello.
And her charming sister, Marnie.
Julius shows a toothy grin.
Sisters?
Twins?
Are you sure this guy's all right?
He's okay. He's helping me out.
Later in the parking lot.
He's from out of town. He kind of latched on to me. Okay, well, great seeing you. Catch you later.
Vince drives away.
Great seeing you. Catch you later.
Julius backs up. The women stare as he rolls forward.
I've only been driving an hour.
Later, Vince unlocks his trunk and hands Julius groceries.
Linda is your girlfriend, isn't she?
Yeah, kind of.
Is Marnie your girlfriend, too?
Marnie? Marnie hates my guts. She kind of likes you, though.
Me?
Yeah.
But she hardly knows me.
That's the best way. You see, women love men who are mysterious and devious. Keeps them on their toes. It excites them, you know what I mean?
No.
You do like women.
Well, very much so. Yeah. And they're strange and sensitive. Yeah. They have compassion. I have the highest respect for women.
Vince stops short, then turns to face Julius and eyes him carefully.
You're a virgin.
Julius looks away.
That's private.
He walks ahead.
230.
As they enter a bungalow, Vince flicks on a light and picks up a calico cat.
Oh, Julius, my little baby poodle.
Such a baby cat. Yes.
Look, did I neglect you? Well, not anymore. Come on.
He carries it to a dish and opens a bag of cat food.
Yeah, this is sweet Julius. Okay, here we go.
You named your cat Julius.
Vince pauses and stares with wide eyes. Later, at the kitchen counter.
The secret to take out eggplant parmesan is extra cheese.
He opens a microwave.
That much cheese?
Oh, yeah. More cheese, the merrier. There you go. Now, I know you're probably used to growing your own vegetables and spearing fish on the lagoon, but here on the mainland, we just nuke it. That's it. There we go. Feast your eyes. Dinner is served.
Julius sniffs it.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Later, they sit at a table. Both tuck their napkins into the necks of their shirts. Then they simultaneously move their glasses to the right corner of their placemats, turn their plates clockwise, and breathe in the aromas.
Through the lips, over the gums.
Look at the stomach. Here it comes, Tom.
Julius.
Oh, I like nooked food.
Now, at the parking garage, a man in a trench coat walks along level 4. Carrying a canvas suitcase, he reaches into his coat pocket and pulls out a set of keys. The man stops at the space where the Cadillac was parked and looks around. Beneath his bushy eyebrows, his gaze hardens. Back at the bungalow, Vince takes a can of beer and a container of milk from the fridge.
Now, let me get this straight. One of our fathers was a famous football player?
Yes.
And another one was a physicist at MIT.
Yes, he won the Nobel Prize.
Naturally. Now, all of our dads were these big shots. And Mom was like Superwoman. But she didn't survive the delivery. And I was sent to an orphanage while you were raised on a tropical paradise by a scientist who you do research for, but who doesn't actually pay you. Because you don't need money. Did I leave anything out?
I think it's important we try to find our fathers.
Oh, you mean the geniuses who contributed to the sperm milkshake?
Why are you being so immature about all this?
Look, Julius, do you know how many times I've heard stories like this? It's every orphan's fantasy. My real mom and dad were rich and beautiful. But there was a mix-up in the hospital. And I got switched with another baby. But one day, there's going to be a knock at the door. And there they'll be, with open arms, crying, "My darling, my treasure, we didn't know. How can we make it up to you?" Let me tell you something for your own good, Julius. It's a crock.
He gets a letter.
I liberated this from my file at the orphanage. Here it is. Read it and weep.
Dear Sister Anderson, your request for orphan's benefits for Vincent Benedict has been denied.
Denied, yeah.
According to our files, his mother did not die during birth.
She's not dead.
We have a current address for her at 172 Canning Glen Drive, Los Angeles. Vincent's case seems to be one of simple abandonment, and as such, he's ineligible for aid.
That's right, Julius. She abandoned me.
Julius regards the letter intently.
This letter was written 30 years ago. We were 5 years old. Our mother didn't die when we were born. And you knew all this time where she was, and you never contacted her?
Look, Julius, I don't know about your mother, Miss Perfect 1952, but my mother was a slut. And if she's still alive, I hope she's in a lot of pain. She dumped me once. There is no way I'm going to give her a chance to do it again.
But Vincent, if they have lied to us about Mama for all these years, maybe they lied to her too. We got to find her. We have to check this address.
Look, you do what you want to do. I got a cash flow problem to deal with. Hello.
Hey, Vince. We haven't forgotten about you. You better have our money tomorrow morning, or else.
Or else what, you blimp?
An explosion rips through a window. Vince and Julius duck behind the counter, then cautiously peek out. Daytime. In a high-tech office building, two businessmen walk through a reception area.
Oh, we're rolling.
Tests on the new low-temperature gaskets look really great.
Not right now.
They're the owners of the Cadillac. They enter an office and discover a man hunched at a desk.
Who are you?
I'm Webster.
It's okay.
Christ, man, you were never supposed to come here.
The deal was we were never supposed to meet. You're supposed to be driving,
driving that car down to Texas. I got my driving gloves. I got my driving glasses. I got my driving hat. But I got no car.
The car was there. The merchandise was in the trunk. Your instructions were on the cassette.
He wants more money. That's what this is about. He wants more money.
Let me explain something to you.
Sit down.
They eye him warily. Then one sits on a sofa.
I got a reputation to uphold. People put their trust in me because they know I always deliver the goods and I always come back with the money. This whole thing is making me look very bad professionally.
This is bullshit. Car was there.
That's right. The parking attendant thought we were going to Hawaii. The parking attendant.
He liked the car. We put on those damn loud shirts so we look like tourists.
You know, I just realized that in over 20 years of service, not one of my clients has ever seen my face.
I don't think that's a problem.
Webster aims a gun.
Hey. Oh, please, please.
Now Julius jogs down a street, drenched in sweat as he reads a piece of paper. He glances around uncertainly, then heads toward a Spanish-style mansion with neatly trimmed lawns. Cars sit in the circular driveway as kids play nearby. Julius approaches a young boy bouncing a basketball.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, excuse me. Could you tell me who lives here?
Grandpa, this man wants to talk to you.
Thank you.
A muscular man with graying hair stands beside a little girl.
Hello.
Yes, can I help you?
I'm terribly sorry to disturb your party. And I know this may sound strange, but I'm looking for someone that lived here a long time ago. Marianne Benedict.
The man's gaze fixes on Julius, who pulls out the old black-and-white group photo from the lab and hands it to him.
She was my mother.
The man starts.
You're Marianne's son?
The little girl studies the photo.
That looks just like you, Grandpa.
Honey, why don't you go inside and help Grandma with lunch, okay? Go on.
Julius's gaze shifts from the picture to the man. They stare into each other's eyes. Standing face to face, they have similar profiles, jutting foreheads and strong noses.
Dad? No. Well, maybe technically speaking, but...
Dad! No. Dad!
Julius envelops him in a big hug.
Dad, it is you!
This is a big surprise.
Dad, this is incredible. I don't know what...
I think we can both use a drink. Why don't we go inside?
One of my fathers. You don't even know what this means to me.
Now, Vince drives the Cadillac down a side street. Opening the glove compartment, he finds something to munch on and pops it into his mouth. Reaching for the cassette player, Vince finds the audio tape. He regards it for a moment, then puts it back into the player.
Mr. Webster, I hope you're happy with the vehicle we chose for your little journey. When you get near Houston, phone 713-555-0342 and ask for Beetroot McKinley. He will arrange to trade you a briefcase for the merchandise in the trunk. Thank you.
Vince cocks an eyebrow.
Marianne Benedict.
Back at the mansion.
Boy, I haven't said that name out loud for over 30 years. Your mother was an amazing woman. The times I've wondered what would have happened if I'd have married her.
Why didn't you?
Well, I asked her to. She turned me down. She said she was afraid to have any more children. See, they told her you had died at birth.
Who told her we died?
The man goes over to Julius and points to the photo.
Mitchell Traven, the guy with the clipboard. He supervised the experiment for the government. He still runs the genetics lab at Los Alamos, New Mexico.
I'll have to pay him a visit.
Yeah, watch out for him. He's kind of a dickhead, if you know what I mean.
Dickhead? No, I don't.
But I'm learning.
At home, Vince dials a phone, now in a large office.
Good, but I'm a little concerned about the time frame on this. Oh, that's okay. That's my private line, honey. I'll take care of that. You boys, excuse me.
As the room clears out, a businessman in cowboy boots goes to his desk and picks up the phone.
Beatrice McKinley talking. Who is this?
Vince.
Webster.
I'm calling from California. I happen to have something,
some merchandise that you might want.
Well, bring it to me, son. Let me enrich you.
Well, Mr. Beetroot, it's the amount of enrichment that I wanted to talk about.
Don't try and renegotiate with old Beetroot, son.
Now look, Beetroot, if we can't renegotiate, we wither and die.
Look, there's no way, Mr. Beetroot,
that I am going to deliver any damn Cadillac unless I know for sure that I have 20 for my cut.
20? You little shit for brains, Peckerwood. You're a goddamn crazy disease. Read mine.
Well, I guess that seems a little too high for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm a reasonable man. How about 15?
The deal is 5.
5? I could do better than 5 here.
If you can do better than $5 million, well then, son, you take it.
Vince tightly grips the receiver as he struggles to speak. On the other end, Beetroot knots his brow. Vince jots down the figure $5 million on a pad beneath Beetroot's phone number.
Beetroot, I'll see you in Houston. After all, fair is fair. I'll just have to find it in my heart to live with your offer.
Well, good.
Vince rips the piece of paper from the pad and slowly straightens, his eyes bulging as he takes in the number. He leaps into the air.
$5 million! $5 million! $5 million!
He crumples the paper into a ball and tosses a hook shot into a wastebasket.
$5 million! $5 million! $5 million!
Later, he rushes to the caddy with clothes and potato chips. As he tosses them into the back, Julius runs up.
What? Listen, the most amazing thing has happened, Vincent.
You scared the living shit out of me.
I met one of her fathers, and he told me of a man in New Mexico who probably knows where Mom is.
Oh, great! Yeah!
Whew. Listen, she didn't abandon you. You know what I mean? She didn't abandon you. Ooh. She didn't even know you were born. Ooh. And they told her that I died.
Oh, no kidding. And look, Julius, I'm in kind of a hurry. You know Sammy, who gave me this car?
Yeah.
Oh, remember Sammy? Right? He wants me to take this car to Houston. So I'm going to be gone a couple of days.
Houston?
Julius climbs into the passenger side.
Do you know something? New Mexico is on the way to Houston.
A lot of places are on the way to Houston, Julius. Use the house. Make some phone calls. Throw wild parties. Take advantage of your brother. Go on.
We have to see this man, Draven, in New Mexico.
No, we don't have to see this man in New Mexico.
Yes, we do. And I'm coming with you.
Julius glares, his chest heaving with deep breaths. Vince nods. Then his eyes crinkle in a smile.
We'll go see the man.
I take a shower. I get my bags and
get your
everything.
Bags.
Be right out. Oh, boy.
I'll be here, bro. Okay.
Julius dashes into the house, and Vince hops into the caddy. As he starts to back out, a car pulls up behind him, locking him in.
This place is a zoo.
Wait.
Linda and Marnie get out with a cake and cookies.
Okay, wait. Happy birthday, Vince. Happy birthday, Vince.
God. It's not my birthday anymore. Well, better late than never.
Ann, look what Marnie made for Julius.
You baked?
Yeah, is Julius around?
Well, he's inside taking a shower.
Oh, I'll go give these to him.
So.
Yeah. Where'd you get this car?
Oh, Sammy. You know, Sammy.
Where are you going?
We're inside. We're going to have some coffee.
You're going somewhere and you weren't even going to say goodbye.
Take out your papers and your trash.
Inside, Marnie tiptoes to a closed bedroom door and gently pushes it open.
You don't swept the kitchen floor. You ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak, yakety yak.
Don't talk back. Marnie.
Dripping wet, Julius wears a towel.
Excuse me, but I was just taking a shower.
Good singing. Oh, I baked you some cookies.
Cookies?
I guess it was a dumb idea.
No, not at all. I'm really looking forward to tossing them.
He wipes off his bare chest.
I should put on some clothes.
I'm sorry. I'll turn around. Lynn and I just came by because she baked him a cake for his birthday.
Oh, I had birthday, too.
Oh, that's right. You're twins.
She sneaks a peek at him in a mirror. Outside, Vince opens the Cadillac's trunk and uncovers a large chrome device. Huh? Linda frowns.
What is it?
I don't know what it is, but it's worth a fortune.
A fortune?
Yeah.
That's great.
Excuse me.
A neighbor approaches.
Excuse me. Never sleep with that man, never loan him money, and never believe a word he tells you. That's free advice.
Good morning, Agnes.
Vince?
I cleaned the pipes once here. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Come on.
Vincent, I'm coming with you.
Linda, don't start. No, you're not coming with me. You're
yes,
not.
Yes, I am.
No.
No,
you're
I
not
am.
Coming
you
with
could get killed and die, and I wouldn't even know what happened to you. No. It'll be fun.
No.
You say no one more time, I'm going to tell everybody.
He covers her mouth with his hand.
Shut up. All right. Okay. All right. All right, you come. But you do not tell Julius what's in that trunk, because he thinks we're going to look up our ancestors, like in Roots or something. All right?
Does this one look okay?
It looks fine. It's a good thing you didn't have to borrow his pants.
Julius tries on one of Vince's shirts.
Linda, guess what?
What?
Vince just asked us to go to New Mexico and Texas with him.
This is a great idea. Vincent, is this true? We all go together?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a great idea if we all hopped in a car and spent a few days on the road together. Nice shirt.
It feels great. Yeah. It's all cotton.
Well, it breathes.
Later, outside.
It's okay, come out.
Vince backs out of the driveway.
All right. Here, Linda.
Oh, can I ride in front with Vincent?
Sure.
Thanks.
Julius opens the back door and pauses. He gets an eyeful of Marnie's long legs and bright smile. Grinning broadly, he sits beside her, and the Cadillac drives off. Now, at the parking garage, a red sedan pulls up to the attendant's booth.
Yeah, let me see. I'm supposed to be giving you one of these. There you go. Sorry, it's my first day on the job. Have a nice day.
Webster hands the driver a ticket, then picks up his gun.
Now, where do I find this very special person, Mr. Vince Benedict?
Al lies bound and gagged on the floor of the booth as Webster holds the gun to his temple. Later, the armed criminal opens the door to Vince's bungalow and sneaks inside. Pocketing a lockpick, he carries a semi-automatic pistol with a silencer. With his lips pressed determinedly together, he searches the front rooms. On the floor nearby, the calico cat noses through a knocked-over wastebasket. Webster steps closer to it.
What have we here? What a cute little kitty. Where's Daddy?
As he picks it up, he finds a balled-up piece of pad paper. The cat scurries away as he uncrumples the note and reads it.
Well, well, well. Thank you very much.
Come on, Vince. We know you're in there. Come on, we just want to talk to you.
The door bursts open.
Howdy!
Three burly men stride in. One, the bruiser from Vince's office, wears a neck brace with his arm in a sling.
Who are you?
It's not really important, is it? I was just feeding the cat, and then I was going to leave.
I asked you a question.
Well, who are you?
We're the Klein brothers. That's Bert, this is Morris, and I'm Bob.
Interesting gene pool.
Don't cast aspersions at my family.
Oh, I beg your pardon. But you're looking for Vince Benedict, right?
Right.
My Vince Benedict? So what difference does it make who I am?
Hit him, buddy.
Yeah.
Webster shoots two of the brothers in the feet.
All right.
Your brothers seem to have a problem with their feet. Could be contagious.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
He saunters out. As the two men writhe on the floor, holding their wounded feet, their brother stares down at them.
You want a doctor? I'll call a doctor.
Now, the Cadillac heads down a desert highway, cruising across a scrubby plain. It drives over a bridge that spans the jagged edges of a deep canyon. In the back seat, Julius and Marnie peruse a map while Linda and Vince sit up front. They speed toward a mountain range looming in the distant haze. As they drive through a shower, the wipers whip back and forth. Nighttime, the headlights gleam on the darkened road. Rain streams down the windows while Marnie snuggles beside Julius. As he gazes at her sleeping form, his biceps flexes, swelling to the size of an orange, and rips his sleeve. Later, in a convenience store, Julius eyes the tear.
Sorry I tore your shirt, Vincent. I don't know what happened.
Taking it off, he exposes his muscles.
Julius!
What?
Are you allergic to something?
No.
Why are these bumps all over your body? I mean, you're all swelled up. You look like you're ready to explode. Yeah, put this shirt on. There are women and children present. And your back. It's worse than the front. It's like North Dakota.
You're so funny, Vincent.
They approach a cashier.
Just a t-shirt and a sandwich.
Julius reads his shirt's slogan.
Born to be bad. Yes, we are.
Scary.
Linda.
Outside, Marnie eagerly watches them approach.
Well, what do you think? Let's rock and roll.
It's his first t-shirt.
Daytime. The Cadillac drives down a residential street lined with adobe houses. Passing horseback riders, it cruises down a dirt driveway to a one-story motel with a neon sign. Open, low rates. The wheels slow to a stop. The car doors open, and the foursome climbs out.
Honey.
Yeah?
See if you can get us a room with a king-size bed.
Right. We'll get us settled. We'll meet you back here.
Okay.
Goodbye. I don't need a king-size bed. I always sleep on the floor.
Now, the guys head for a large research building.
I don't know, Jules. I hope this is a good idea.
Come on.
Oh, look, promise me something. If this Professor Traven has never heard of, you know, Mom or us twins or all our dads or the experiment, you won't be upset.
All I want him to do is tell us the truth.
I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're talking about. Now get the hell out of here before I call security.
Later.
Well, that's that. On to Houston.
He's lying.
Take it easy, Julius. He said he was going to call security.
The first time in my life, I'm
pissed off. Oh, Julius, don't do this to me. I got a car to deliver. The last thing I need is a detour in the slammer.
I'm gonna make him tell us the truth.
No!
Julius kicks down the door and shows Traven the old photo.
That's our mother. Those are our six fathers. That's Werner. And that is you. So stop talking.
Security guards.
Everything okay, Dr. Traven?
Yes. It's okay. I'll take care of it.
As the guards leave, the bespectacled Dr. Traven eyes the oddly matched twins.
Well, Vincent. You turned out just like I thought you would. What'd you do, escape from prison?
Vince cautiously steps closer to him.
How'd you know my name?
Traven regards him intently.
I named you.
Vince's eyes grow wide. Later, the two brothers head down the long, shadow-filled corridor toward the genetics research lab. At the end of the hall, Traven unlocks the chained-up double doors.
We sealed this door the day after you were born.
Opening one of the doors, he sweeps away cobwebs with his hand, then steps inside. He flicks on a light, and Julius and Vince follow him to the inner door of the main lab. As the twins hesitantly peek in, Traven turns toward them.
Well, come on in. This is what you wanted to see.
Julius and Vince share a quick look, then slowly enter. A lab coat hangs on a hook nearby. An exam table stands in the center with stirrups, a a tray of medical instruments and an IV bottle. Julius runs his hand along the table's surface.
You came out first, of course. We weren't expecting him.
He points his thumb at Vince, who points to a machine.
This must be where you made the milkshake.
We weren't making milkshakes. We're making the most fully developed human the world has ever seen.
But instead of just one perfect kid, Mom had the two of us. Way to go, Mom!
Wrong. The embryo did split in two, but it didn't split equally. All the purity and strength went into Julius. All the crap that was left over went into what you see in the mirror every morning.
Whoa. You telling me I'm the crap?
No, this is not true,
well,
Vincent.
Wait a minute, Julius. I want to hear this. You telling me that I am the leftover crap, that I'm no good?
He's wrong.
Look at him.
Vince steps closer to Traven.
You saying that I'm a side effect?
You haven't got the brain power to understand this, and I haven't got the time. Show's over.
Julius grabs him by the shoulder.
Hey, dickhead. Tell us where our mother is.
Whispering Pines. It's an artist colony 200 miles north of Santa Fe.
Julius looks Traven squarely in the face.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
Traven trembles for a moment. Then Julius releases him and steps over to his brother, who stands rooted to the floor with a dazed expression. Julius gingerly takes his twin by the shoulders and leads him to the door. Traven quickly backs out of their way. Later, the Benedict brothers linger in the parking lot. Vince sits on a post with downcast eyes as Julius stands nearby.
My life just got flushed down the toilet.
No, Vincent. Your life is just about to begin.
I'm genetic garbage.
We're twins. We're basically the same.
Julius, I know this is a very touchy subject for you, but we don't look the same. We don't act the same. We don't talk the same. We don't dress the same.
I know.
So if we're so much the same, how come we're so goddamn different?
We had six fathers. We're different parts of a lot of different people.
Yeah?
And don't forget, I was taken to a beautiful island. I was loved. I was protected, educated. You had nobody, Vincent. Nobody to love you, to trust you, to encourage you. I mean, all life taught you was that the only person you could count on was yourself.
Vince steps over to the Cadillac with his back to his brother. Julius draws closer.
See, Vincent, you're the missing part of my life. And I'm the missing part of your life. And when we find Mama, we can fill the missing part of hers. We won't be alone anymore. We can be a family.
As Julius leans against the car, Vince slowly turns to face him.
A family?
Yes.
You mean like with a Christmas tree and Thanksgiving dinner?
In the real home, where you'll always be welcome.
Always?
Even when you've been bad.
Vince wraps his arms around Julius and they embrace. Later, the brothers stride into a men's clothing store.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yes.
Vince inspects the merchandise.
Oh. Look.
Is this really necessary,
Vincent? Yes, of course it's necessary. I'm not going to introduce you to my mother looking like a goat herder from Albania. You need clothes.
But I feel fine the way I am.
But you look like a...
Hello, can I help you?
Oh, yeah. Do I look like I need help? Here's the problem right here. We got to do a whole ensemble.
Later, the brothers hit the streets in identical outfits. Boat shoes, khaki pants, white sport coats, and blue and white striped shirts.
Do I look okay?
You look better, let's put it that way. You know what we have to do, Jules? We got to work on the way you're walking a little bit. I mean, you look a little stiff, you know? You ever see Frankenstein?
I read the book.
Now that's not gonna help. You see, when you walk, you gotta walk like you're moving to music. You know, and I don't mean a military march. I mean like, you know, Aretha Franklin and Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett. A couple of white people.
Like this?
Yeah.
They sway their hips as they bop down the street.
Loose.
Oh, I like that.
Here, I got something for you. Yeah. Try these on.
The sunglasses.
Yeah.
They each put on a pair of square, super dark shades.
Now, that's it.
The twins take off their sport coats and sling them over their shoulders.
Whoa. Do I look cool now?
Mr. Ice. Yeah, just breeze on through.
Nighttime, in a room at the motel.
Tonight's the night. It's gonna be a good night, bro. And everything's gonna happen, bro. And you take her in your arms. And you plan a good one on her, ho!
Julius sits tensely on the corner of a bed as Vince starts to pull on his shirt.
Tonight is your night, bro. Yeah, your night, bro. Oh, yeah, bro, you're gonna do it.
Julius hangs his head.
It's gonna come
you're
to
you. You're making me nervous.
Well, you're nervous.
Help me.
What?
I've never been out on a date before.
That's
I don't
okay.
know what to do.
Well, you talk to her, you buy her a couple of drinks. You dance with her, bro. You're gonna dance with
her. You dance?
Vince peeks out of the bathroom as he buttons his shirt.
Oh. You probably never did that before either.
No.
Oh, well, look. All right. The first thing is, Jules, forget about disco. Right?
No disco.
No disco. When I really want to romance a girl, I waltz with her.
You mean like Strauss?
Yeah. It turns them into putty in your hands.
Vince holds out his arms and glides across the carpet.
Come on, let's assume the dance position. I give you a couple of printers.
I really appreciate that, Vincent.
Go. All right. Hope nobody's looking in the window. Here. Come on, like this. Here you go. Put your feet by my feet. Come on. Let's go.
Julius steps forward and stands on both of Vince's feet.
By my feet, not on my feet. Jules, thanks very much.
Sorry, Vincent.
Minor oversight there. Okay, all right, grab my hand. Yeah. Ease up. Ease up. Tiny bit. Let the blood flow through the fingers.
I'm like loose.
See, come on, that's a relax.
I'm just nervous. Right,
okay, one, two, three.
Julius grits his teeth as they try a box step.
One, two, three. Look, see what you're doing with your teeth there, Jules?
Yeah.
You're grinding them. Don't grind your teeth, huh? Don't grind your teeth. Relax your jaw. But now try to count without moving your lips. All right?
One, two, three.
See? You're not wrestling a boar 300 miles southwest of Fiji.
Now, in a nightclub, Julius holds Marnie as they waltz across the floor.
Hold you and talk of romance.
A curly-haired singer grips a mic as a band plays. Nearby, Vince dances with Linda, who stands a head taller. The brothers dip their partners. Then Vince grabs Linda's butt. Julius sees them, and he grabs Marnie's backside. The foursome stands in a line and performs a shuffling two-step. Julius holds up Marnie's arm and twirls her as Linda pirouettes around Vince. In a line, they all two-step back across the floor. Then the sisters twirl around their partners again. As the couples embrace, the guys grab their ladies' behinds. The sisters grin. Vince and Julius spin their partners, who whirl across the floor. As the women watch, the twins join hands in a tango pose and thrust their hips. The sisters urge them forward, and Julius and Vince waltz over. The couples resume their dance. Julius picks Marnie up and wheels her around. Linda leaps into Vince's arms. As Julius tenderly sets Marnie down, their foreheads press together. Her hand slides down his chest as she bumps his nose with hers. Leaning in close, Marnie passionately kisses him. Vince comes over grinning.
Way to go, Jules!
Later, they all sit with beer bottles and glasses.
Did you know they had beer in ancient Egypt?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was actually the Assyrians that developed the beer, yes. But it was the Egyptians that were the first people to perfect the malt fermentation process.
Yeah, you know a lot about beer.
He knows a lot about everything.
It's all from books. Till tonight, I've never had a beer. It's all theory, no practice. Story of my life.
Oh.
Well, we're going to change all that, aren't we, Marnie?
She smiles shyly.
Marnie.
What?
Am I shit-faced yet?
Linda spits beer across the table.
Excuse me, but my back teeth are floating.
Excuse me, I have to check if my back teeth are floating.
Good shot.
In the men's room, the guys step up to urinals and hit the flushers.
We both flushed at the same time before we did it.
Yeah, right. Woo! Hey, Jules, Marnie's got the hots for you, babe. Tonight is your lucky night. I know it.
I don't think Marnie really likes me.
Oh, are you kidding me? Piece of cake. This woman is ripe. You just, you're nervous because it's your first time. Perfectly natural. Mm. Really?
They cross to the sink and wash their hands, then shake them.
Were you nervous the first time?
They dry off with paper towels.
I was 12 years old, and she was a nun. Talk about pressure.
They toss their towels into a can. Vince holds out his palms.
Come on, hit him!
What?
Hit him! Oh!
They slap each other ten.
Julius, I have to admit this. Since you and I first met, my life has been just getting better and better.
Mine too. I'm so happy, Vincent. I feel like sometimes, like, picking you up!
As Julius spins Vince, another guy enters the men's room. Julius puts Vince down.
Hey, he's my brother. Oh, lay off the beer, Jules.
Back in the club, the Klein brothers enter, two of them wearing casts and walking with canes. Linda spots them from across the room.
Did you tell anyone we were coming to Santa Fe? I called work and told them we wouldn't be in for a few days.
The Kleins head over.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, we were fired.
Oh, no.
You hated that job.
Nice of your boss to tell us where we can find you.
Oh, no.
Hi, girls. You don't mind if we join you and listen to some music?
Julius and Vince return.
The Klein boys. What an unpleasant surprise.
Vince, this has gone way beyond a case of simple loan delinquency.
We don't like being shot.
Shot? Who shot you?
What do you want?
We want to take Vince out to the parking lot and kill him.
Oh, ew.
Don't you think that's a little drastic?
Let's go.
Julius grabs a claim.
Don't touch him.
Another draws a gun.
Oh,
Hey, big fella. You wouldn't want me to hurt the lovely lady, would you?
You moved too soon.
What?
The second rule in a crisis situation.
Uh-oh. He's starting that funny talk again.
If you choose to bluff, you must be prepared to have your bluff called.
This is no bluff. These are my cousins, Sam and Dave. Get these jerks out of here.
As Sam and Dave grab Julius's arms, he rears up and kicks two of the Kleins in the face, then bangs the cousins' heads together. Vince elbows the third Klein in the groin and bashes him with a guitar. Julius clasps his brother on the shoulders.
Oh, I'm so proud of you, Vince. Oh, I love when you hit people.
Linda and Marnie climb out from between two unconscious Klein brothers with the guy's help. Club patrons dance around the laid-out body of the third Klein. Later, at the motel, Julius unrolls a sleeping bag.
What a day.
First he visited our birthplace. And he bought new clothes.
And a bucket of ice here and a very good bottle of wine.
And we danced the waltz.
Yes, we did. Oh, it's too bright in here.
And then we got into a fight. Now we have this beautiful room.
Perfect. Yes, it is beautiful.
I tell you, life just doesn't get better than this.
Oh, yes, it does. Good night.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go tuck Linda in and maybe read her a bedtime story. Don't wait up for me.
Tonight is your night, bro. It's your night, bro.
Oh, Vincent, you locked yourself out. I... Marnie.
Hi.
Hi.
Vince and Linda want to be alone, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to stay here tonight.
You mean you're going to sleep here tonight?
Uh-huh. Which bed should I take?
Either bed will be fine. I always sleep on the floor.
Turning, he finds himself nose to nose with her. They lean close together and tenderly kiss, then draw apart.
Good night.
Good night.
She heads for a twin bed. He goes to his unfolded sleeping bag. Marnie drops her robe, showing a skimpy nightgown. As she turns off a light and crawls onto the bed, the bikini panties under her gown reveal her creamy, smooth thighs and buttocks.
Julius?
He turns to gaze at her.
Good night.
Good night.
She slips beneath the covers. On the sleeping bag, Julius covers his head with a pillow. In the bed, Marnie glances up at the ceiling, then looks down at Julius on the floor in his boxer shorts. She starts to shift around, then throws off her covers.
Oh, no.
What?
She gets up.
What's the matter?
This bed is lumpy.
Bringing her pillow, she joins him on the sleeping bag.
You mind if I share the floor with you?
As Julius rests on his elbow, his eyes twinkle. Marnie draws close and softly kisses his lips. She pulls away and lies on her back beside him. Julius sits motionless, his eyes closed, still lost in their kiss. As Marnie watches him, his eyes slowly open. He gazes affectionately down at her.
Teasing me, aren't you?
A little.
What do you do now?
She pulls him down to her.
We'll figure it out.
Now, in Linda's room, Vince does calisthenics.
Tonight is our night, bro.
Why are you doing that now?
Well, you know, Mom hasn't seen me in all these years. I want to look my best. Tonight.
Your mom's gonna love you, whatever you look like.
Bro.
And you look really good.
I know.
He does push-ups. Are
you a little nervous?
Run 7, run 8, no.
Just a little?
10. Linda.
What?
Like, what if she's disappointed in me?
If she's disappointed in you, then she's a fake. I don't know what else a mom could want in a son, huh?
You're right. Why am I worried? What am I worried about?
I don't know. You got it all.
I couldn't do this without you, Linda.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking that when we get back...
Yeah?
I think we should move in together.
No.
No.
Oh, no, no.
No, it's not.
Oh, no. No.
That I don't want to get married, and it's not that I want to keep track of you, because I don't need to. I just want to live with you. It'd be fun.
Linda, look at me. Do I look like someone who could play house? I mean, I'm cranky in the morning. I'm grouchy in the afternoon. I'm moody at night. I'm, like, miserable.
I know what you're like.
Let's sleep on it, okay? Sleep on it.
Okay, one night.
Right, look, this is going to be great. Tomorrow, I'm taking my best girl to meet my mom. I'm so excited.
Best girl?
Yeah, you. Linda, there's no other girls. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Just you.
It better not be. You know why?
Why?
Because I only have eyes for you.
That sounds familiar. You like that song, huh?
They roll around kissing. In the other room, Marnie coolly puffs a cigarette as Julius lies beside her wide-eyed. With a goofy grin plastered on his face, he stares up at the ceiling. Daytime. The Cadillac drives up a dirt road past a pickup truck with a horse trailer. Moments later, the caddy pulls up to an adobe wall outside a ranch. Vince and Marnie, who carry small bouquets of fresh-cut flowers, climb out with Linda and Julius.
It's huge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Not to mention valuable. Real estate like this is worth a fortune.
You must know we think about money, Vincent.
Well, no, you got me all wrong, Julius. I'm just saying it's nice mom's loaded. That's a worry she won't have to have in her old age.
Hello. Can I help you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, excuse me. We're looking for Marion Benedict, please.
I'm sorry, but that's not possible.
No, oh, look, we've come a long way. And believe me, she's going to be very happy to see us.
Well, even so, you're going to have to write a letter to the Benedict Foundation stating your business. I'm sorry. Good day.
As the gate swings shut, Vince's eyes glaze over.
Foundation?
Millions, Julius. Mama's rich. We gotta go see her. Buckaroos! Let's get in there. We gotta talk to her.
We sneak in.
Hands clear. Throw me over.
They boost him over the fence.
Vince, are you okay?
Yeah, shut up. Come on. Come on.
Julius and Linda help Marnie over. Wearing high heels, she climbs to the top of the wall and drops over the side. Next, Julius lifts Linda up. A moment later, the foursome wanders the grounds. They tiptoe through a gate to the edge of a lush valley. A mountain range and a grove of trees stand in the distance. On the nearby lawn, people stroll or sit reading.
What a lovely day.
They spot an elderly woman standing at an easel.
Hey, Vincent. Don't you think this is Mama?
Yeah, could be, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to introduce yourselves.
Hey.
A gardener.
Should you people be here?
Uh-oh.
Well, that depends on how you feel personally about trespassing.
Does he always try to be funny like that?
Well, we are looking for Miss Marion Benedict, please.
Yeah.
Is she here?
Yeah, she's here.
She's here.
You know, sneaking in like that, I should call the police.
No. No, you don't want to do anything like that. You see, this is not your everyday average situation.
The middle-aged woman eyes him carefully. Vince turns to Julius, who nods in the woman's direction, urging him to continue.
She's our mother, is the thing.
We are her sons.
Twin sons.
Julius nods firmly.
You're comedians.
No. We're kind of a surprise.
I'll bet you are. Follow me.
The guys share a look, then walk after her, flanked by the girls.
We were right.
It is her.
The gardener leads them toward the elderly painter, and then continues on. The brothers pause uncertainly.
Excuse me, but we thought that this is...
Marion Benedict?
This is an artist colony. There are a lot of painters. Come on.
They walk down a flagstone pathway.
I can't wait to meet her.
She's gotta be amazing.
I know. Look, Marianne Benedict never understood why people wanted to buy her paintings. But for a brief period, they were considered valuable. She used the money to buy Whispering Pines.
May I ask you a question? Why do you keep referring to her in a past tense?
Because, she passed away some time ago.
She
has to.
You just said she was here.
I meant her spirit. Her spirit is always here.
As she moves on ahead, Vince and Julius stand rooted to the ground, dumbstruck. The gardener steps to the front gate, then looks back. Linda walks Vince out. Marnie strolls alongside Julius as they follow. Stepping outside, Vince flings his bouquet to the ground, and Julius stares down at the fragile flowers. Vince stands waiting by the car.
Can we get the hell out of here, please?
The caddy speeds away down the dirt road. Back at the ranch.
Those damn real estate developers. They won't be happy until they turn this place into a golf course.
Oh, is that who they were?
Shameless, they'll try anything.
The gardener sits with the painter.
Do you know those two men claim to be my twin sons? If you can believe that.
What?
It was really quite upsetting.
Oh, Marianne, I am sorry.
Oh, it's all right. It doesn't matter. You get over things.
Marianne, the gardener, gazes off to the side.
I did have a child once. But he died at birth.
A bittersweet smile tugs at the corner of her mouth. Now the couple's at a rest stop.
You should be proud of her. She donates her house and her land and all her paintings to young artists.
Linda, do I look like a young artist to you?
Vance, all she meant was
I know what she meant. And I know why she's here, and it's got nothing to do with finding my mother and everything to do with money.
That's not true, and you know it.
Bullshit.
Oh, take it easy, Vincent. This is not her fault.
Oh, look who decided to chime in. The creature from the Black Lagoon. I should have had my head examined listening to you in the first place. A deal of a lifetime opportunity, and I'm out looking for a dead mother.
All I wanted was make us into a family.
Family, my butt. There's no family here. There's nothing here except me and three losers. I don't know why I listen to people. All my life, I'm always listening to people. I don't know why
Cut
I do
it. Vince!
All right, huh? No, I'm leaving!
He chucks their bags out of the car.
Stop! You're acting like a fourth grader. Where do you think you're going?
He dumped us in the middle of New Mexico.
I can't. Julius! You don't know this, and I promised Vincent I wouldn't tell you, but he's got something in the trunk that's worth millions, and I'm worried that he's going to get himself killed delivering it.
At twilight, the caddy heads down a lonely highway. Inside, Vince holds a car phone.
Okay, yeah, yes, Mr. Beaver. Yeah, I'll find it, yeah. Yes, I have a map. All right, I'll see you there. All right, see you in Houston in the morning.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Beetroot sits with Webster.
What a coincidence. That was our friend. Looks like I'm going to be doing business with him. Sorry.
Hey, I would have done the same thing. You just want the merchandise. It's not your problem who delivers it.
Precisely.
Daytime. At an airfield, Linda and Marnie accompany Julius to a twin-engine plane.
But how will you find him?
I have him in my head. Don't worry, Linda. I found him once. I'll find him again, okay?
Hope so. Bye. Be careful.
Julius and Marnie kiss. Later, the plane takes off into clear skies.
Brother to brother.
In Houston, Vince drives while consulting a map.
One to another. Like no other. Brother to brother.
Now, Julius wanders the city streets.
Never knew you existed, never saw you in my dreams. If there were signs, I must have missed them. Who would I believe?
Stopping at a light, Vince yawns and pats his stubbly face. Across town, Julius stops and stiffly pats his cheeks.
Through every dim of me,
brother to brother.
You took me by the hand.
Brother to brother.
Now, Julius spies a long white convertible with steer horns on its grill. Keys dangle fetchingly from the ignition. Seconds later, Julius does a quick U-turn and speeds off. On a sidewalk across town, Vince looks over a map while holding a cup of coffee. He spills it on his left hand. In the stolen convertible, Julius eyes his own left hand with concern. Now, Vince heads into a factory complex. He pulls into a loading garage where Beetroot waits with an associate who brandishes a pistol. Vince stops the car and pops the trunk.
I'm sorry I'm late. The directions you gave me weren't...
Step back, Mr. Benedict.
Vince holds up his hands.
Get over here.
I'm unarmed.
Beetroot checks out the device in the trunk.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, it is.
You come here alone, unarmed?
Yeah.
Hey, you're just some fool who stole a car, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am.
You don't even know what the hell this thing is, do you?
No.
Revolutionary fuel injection system for jets.
Worth a fortune to the company that brings it to the market first. Somebody else developed it, but
I just had to have it.
Yeah, crafty devil, huh?
What are you waiting for?
The gunman steps closer.
Wait a minute. Beetroot, I thought we had a deal here.
We do.
Vince backs away, scrunching up his eyes. The gunman lays a briefcase on the car trunk. Beetroot flips it open, revealing stacks of cash.
$5 million?
You want to count it?
No, you do. But I could use a lift back to town.
Don't press your luck.
No, okay. It's all... I gassed it up for you, Beetroot. Thank you.
Beetroot and his associate drive out in the Cadillac.
$5 million. $5 million. I've got to look at it.
Outside, the caddy smashes into a brick wall. In the loading garage, Vince's eyes bug out. He sidles up to the entrance and peeks around the corner. The Cadillac sits across the driveway. Smoke rises from its engine. Vince squints, his mouth forming an O. He takes a step out to get a better look and scans the roof across the way. It's empty. He eyes a metal walkway. There's no one there. Breaking into a run, Vince hurries across the concrete clearing to a freestanding shed. He peers around the corner and spies Beetroot's associate lying over the caddy's steering wheel with blood trickling from the back of his head. Webster fires from above.
Hey, Benedict! All I want is the money, Benedict! Just give me what's mine and I'll leave you alone!
Vince uses the briefcase as a shield as he dashes across the driveway. Now Julius pulls up in the white convertible and puts the car in park. Meanwhile, Vince speeds down a concrete staircase, descending several levels into an underground facility. Thick metal pipes line a tunnel ceiling. He dashes underneath a crossbeam that reads, McKinley Aerospace. Fluorescent bulbs throw an eerie yellowish tint down the long hallway. Picking up speed, Vince tightly clutches the briefcase and runs with all of his might. Reaching the end of the hall, he stops and looks around anxiously.
Steps.
He heads down another staircase. Webster appears behind him. As he aims his rifle at Vince, Julius approaches and flings his suitcase at Webster. The shot misses.
Leave my brother alone.
Down another tunnel, Vince stops. Shaking his head, he continues along the tunnel. As he lifts his leg to step over a huge pipe on the floor, he pauses, then heads back the way he came.
Julius, you're here? No, you idiot.
Don't be nervous. I hate violence. Plus, I never carry a gun.
Who are you?
Whoa, put the gun down. I got the money. Here's your money. Here's the money. You're a goddamn millionaire.
Vince eyes his brother.
You, I am never gonna forgive. Never.
Open it?
Webster keeps his gun on Julius.
You were going to get killed. I was trying to distract him so you could escape.
I already had escaped. I was halfway to Brazil when I felt you.
Close it?
Open it.
He picks up the case.
So why didn't you go?
Why didn't I go? I'll tell you why I didn't go. Because thanks to you, I'm not only a goddamn psychic.
Benedict, I think the case belongs to me.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm not only a goddamn psychic, I got this disease called a conscience.
No one ever said being good was easy.
Oh, no one ever said being good was easy.
Will you two shut up?
Hey, butt out, pal, will you, huh? You got your money. Now take it and go live in the lap of luxury somewhere. Try Brazil.
Yeah, I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. You two have seen my face. Which one's first?
What, are you gonna kill us even though we gave you the money?
You got it.
Oh, wait a minute. You forgot the third rule in a crisis situation.
The third rule?
Third rule?
Yeah, third rule.
His eyes flicked to a pulley over Webster's head.
Oh, the third rule.
But what's the third rule?
Duh!
Vince pulls a lever. The pulley falls and knocks Webster on the head. He drops to the floor and lies still as a length of chain spills down onto him. Vince bobs his head, watching it cascade down in an unending stream, covering Webster in a thick tangle. The unraveling chain forms a mound, as tall as Julius, with Webster completely buried underneath. The briefcase stands beside the pile, with a single loop draped around it.
Yo! Holy schmoly!
They walk around the giant pile, staring at it.
Now, there's a man with a lot on his mind.
Thanks for coming back, Vincent.
We're brothers, right? We're family.
That's right.
They Thank warmly you. Embrace.
A rich family.
Vince picks up the case.
A good family.
What?
We're going to return this money.
No, we don't have to give it back.
Yes, we do.
Why?
No, we have
Why?
To give it back.
Why?
Now, a newspaper headline. Twins return stolen engine.
Marianne? I think you better come take a look at this. What is it?
At Whispering Pines, Marianne takes the copy of USA Today from her painter friend and looks at the photo of the smiling Benedict brothers. Her eyes shift back and forth in wonderment. Now, Dr. Traven lies on the couch in his office, perusing the Albuquerque Journal. His headline declares, Twins find stolen engine, receive reward. Traven moves the paper aside to find Marianne Benedict standing by the doorway, glaring at him.
Marianne? What a pleasant surprise!
He sits up.
You stole my family. You lying son of a bitch!
She socks him in the jaw. Now Vince greets Linda outside her apartment door.
Linda, I'm sorry. I made a terrible mistake and I apologize. All I'm asking for is another chance. I mean, I know I probably don't deserve this,
That's right. You don't deserve it.
She goes into her apartment. Inside, dozens of flower bouquets of all colors fill her living room. Linda gazes open-mouthed, then opens the front door and steps back out. She goes to a stairway and looks down.
Vince?
As she turns back to her apartment, she finds Vince walking on his knees across the carpet, holding up a single African daisy. She steps in and closes the door behind her. Now in an office, a sign reads, The Benedict Corporation.
Yes, this is the Benedict Corporation. We are a consulting firm. A think tank. Something like the Rand Corporation.
Only smarter.
Sitting across from each other, Vince and Julius simultaneously scratch their ears.
Well, good night, Mr. Benedict.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, that's it. The last check is written. What do we have left out of the $50,000 reward?
Well, after we've paid off all our debts, we have exactly $12,278.
$12,278. That's terrible.
What?
Is terrible.
Oh, you're just upset because I made you return that suitcase.
Oh, the money. You mean the $4 million. $4 million, I mean, just say it. Say it. Is it $4 million? It's a lot of money, Jules.
Vincent, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of myself.
Now, isn't it great to be one of the good guys for a change?
It feels great to be a good guy. Well, you're a great guy, too. Look, you came back for me, huh? You did steal a car, though.
I borrowed one, and I brought the car back the next day. I explained the whole story to the man. He was a cowboy.
Excuse me? I'm...
Marianne.
Oh, my God. I don't even know which one is which.
She cradles a teddy bear against her chest.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. You see, I didn't believe your story. I mean, who would believe a crazy story like that?
The brothers share a stunned look.
They lied to me all these years. They lied to you, too.
They slowly get to their feet. Marianne, wearing a peach linen dress with her gray hair elegantly pulled back, steps further into the office.
You found each other.
Her blue eyes glisten as she smiles.
Now you found me.
Vince swallows tightly. Julius sighs, his blue eyes wide. Marianne looks from him to his brother as Vince's mouth struggles to form a word. His eyes grow wide. He raises his eyebrows. Nodding, he brings his lips together and tries again.
Mama.
Mama.
Vince throws open his arms.
Mama!
Oh, Mama.
The brothers enfold their mother in an embrace.
Mama.
Vince kisses her cheek, and they wrap their arms around one another in a group hug. Now, at a crowded merry-go-round in a park, old Dr. Werner from the island buys tickets. He hands some to Marianne Benedict.
Good. Tickets?
Oh, thanks. This is going to be great.
I just can't get over how alike they are.
Oh, yes, it's beautiful.
Julius and Vince approach, pushing baby strollers. Each has a set of twins. Linda and Marnie join them, and all four parents pick up an infant. Dr. Werner moves the strollers aside while Marianne and her family gather together. The Benedict brothers cradle their babies in their arms. Dr. Werner takes a picture, and a black and white photo appears of the smiling family.